Tonight, I want to continue our series on spirituality with lesson number 12. It's set to music. I hope you'll enjoy it. This will be Revisiting the Documents of the New Testament, Part 2, if you've been keeping up. I'd like to read this verse to you before we begin, Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 through 20. It says, "So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits." I'm going to skip my introduction story because, frankly, it stinks. Each week I try to find something that kind of connects us to the lesson, but there's not a lot of connection there, so I'm going to give up on it. I tried. It just doesn't work. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Tonight we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit, okay? But there's a little bit of a lead under that, which I'll just let the Lord do because my attempts failed miserably. This is a really interesting text. And Paul starts here in chapter 5, verse 16. And he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." You know, I thought to myself, well, sometimes in life I have struggled with different areas of sinfulness or something like that. And for Paul to tell these people, walk by, I'm ringing big time. Am I ringing or is that me? Okay. But Paul says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh, verse 17, sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. But it says, verse 18, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are... Now here's a list of the things done in the flesh. You guys want to join us? Okay. These guys over here are just exchanging notes, checking out the sermon. We'll see them afterwards for the outline. That's a good deal. The deeds of the flesh are this. They are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I thought about these things of the flesh, and I thought about the different kinds of things that go on as a result of a fleshly attitude, a fleshly mindset. When our thinking comes from the things that are temporal and not eternal, then the godly desire is not going to happen. His kingdom business will not be served. But Paul goes on here and he says this. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. And you know the song. We've sang the song around here ever since Dave did some VBS 10 years ago, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, on and on. He says, Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit, the result of letting the Spirit take charge in your life. You know, I don't know about you, but I like to be in my own driver's seat. Isn't that kind of the way we are in America, you know? Control your own life. Step up and take charge. God says, hey, get in the back seat, Christians. Let the Holy Spirit direct your life. Let Him be the driver. And to that He says this, here are the fruits of the Spirit. If the Spirit, metaphorically speaking, is driving your car, here's going to be some results of that. And as I went through that list, I thought, you know, these are some pretty good things. If we can get a grasp on some of these things in our lives, we just might make a difference not only in our own lives, but in the lives of people around us. Here's the first one. The fruit of the Spirit is love. This word love is the word agape. You've heard that 100 times, and it defines a love that is benevolent. A love that's not focused on itself, but a love that's focused outward. A love that is patient. A love that is kind. A love that bears all things, Paul will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know what? That kind of hits me a little bit in the head here, because I bear all things up to a certain point. You know, I'm glad that my point is where it is, because it didn't used to be. It used to be at a lower level. But I pushed that point out here, but I know in my heart I still have a point. And I've got to be careful that my love is a type of love that will bear all things and remove the point. James chapter 1, verse 27 talks about a love that would help widows and orphans. I just want to stop there for a minute. That's James chapter 1, verse 27. There's a segment of our brotherhood that will have nothing to do with helping widows and orphans. I don't want to be critical, but I just don't understand that from the Scripture, okay? If we, and you know what? I want you to know something, church. We have some widows, for sure. I don't know if we have any orphans, to be honest. I don't think so. But we definitely have some widows that we need to be showing our love to. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, a love that puts its own interest, it puts the interest of others ahead of its own. Putting other people first. A love that is sacrificial. A love that would lay down its life in place of another person. The kind of love I think talked about here, the fruit of the Spirit, is a kind of love that will never fail. A kind of love that would lead us to give our very hearts to those around us. A kind of love that would love your enemy. You know, the turn the other cheek business. Being kind to those who are trying to harm you. Man, that's a stretch. I just want to tell you, I don't think I have that in me unless the Spirit's driving my car. Maybe there's a top. There's our sermon title, is the Spirit driving your car? Well, the second thing is, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy is more than a feeling. Joy is a state of mind. Jesus found Himself in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, joyful in view of the cross. Not because of the pain that would happen there, and the shame and the ridicule and all that, but joy for what would come as a result of it. Church, God cares about our mindset. A godly state of mind finds joy in all circumstances, James chapter 1 and verse 2. And I want to tell you that that challenges me sometimes. Because there are many times in life when things don't go my way. There are many times in life when the struggles and the pressures get me down. And it's hard to have that joy. But church, what I'm saying is, joy is not circumstantial. It should not be to a Christian. That's why Paul and Silas could sit in prison and sing. Unsure of their fate, it didn't matter. Circumstances did not control the joy of their hearts. Joy looks for possibilities at every turn. A joyful mind doesn't give up hope. Joyful mind looks for good things to come. Joy is God's choice for us. John chapter 17 and verse 13 says, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves." Jesus' prayer for his disciples. So I thought about joy, and the one thing that just rings true in my mind, when the Spirit is leading my life, I never lose sight of the fact that Jesus died for me and provided redemption for my soul, and I'm headed to an eternal home prepared for me. I can't get out from under the joy of that when I walk in that Spirit-filled life. Another fruit of the Spirit is peace. Jesus was called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. But peace here is not just an inward feeling or a state of being. Here, I think peace at its core represents reconciliation to God. In the life of a Christian, we see reconciliation to God rising to the front. We see the peace that comes from a right relationship between God and man ushered in by the Son of God and His sacrifice upon the cross. The Spirit, as He moves in our life, will move us to a peace that surpasses all understanding, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. I thought about that and I wondered why God would try to communicate to us something that we can't understand. When the Spirit is driving your car, when the Spirit is leading your life, He can take you to places that you've never been. You can have peace in your soul when there is no reason to have peace. You can make it through every day, every struggle, and every trial with a peace and calmness about your heart that will carry you home. That comes by the Spirit of God. You know what? The human spirit, the fleshly spirit, the temporal spirit, is not given to peace, but it's given to turmoil. The world, those folks that are not Christian, they're involved in a continuous turmoil of spirits. You see them moving through life, constantly trying to pay this bill, that bill, get a better and bigger and better car, and having a bigger and better house. They get in this big rat race of life, and there's no peace. I want to ask you to think about this. How can you have peace outside of the Spirit of God? Peace of what? Peace of taxes? Peace of, you know, fill in whatever you want in this temporal life. But the fruit of the Spirit is peace. God also directs us to preserve and protect peace between ourselves. You know what? As Christians, that doesn't remove us from being human. And sometimes we get upset with each other. Sometimes we have quarrels with each other. Sometimes we have disagreements with each other. But you know what Paul's saying here in Ephesians 4 and verse 3? You, church, always move toward peace in the Spirit. That should be something that a Spirit-filled life is always pushing for peace. Another fruit of the Spirit is patience. Patience means holding in check a strong desire for immediate results. Uh-oh, now I'm talking to myself. Sometimes I am so impatient. I just get this method in my mind and I see a step-numbered program of getting there from A to B. I'm on my way, don't want to hear it, I'm on a path. You know, sometimes I'm not very patient. Each person We're all created differently. We all grew up in different homes with different life experiences. We all make changes in different ways. I am a person that I got to get my hands on something physically, so I'm tactile, I guess is the word. And then I've got to understand the process too. People are different in how they understand things. Patience is not something that's misunderstood. Patience is something that we have to push for. It's not something that's going to magically show up at our doorstep, but patience is something that we have to present in our life or let the Spirit more adequately work through us. Patience, you see, is allowing God to work at His pace. Isaiah chapter 40 talks about those who wait on the Lord. Man, I don't like to wait. I pull up to Burger King, place my order, and if it's not there in 30 seconds, I'm fidgety. And they want me to pull forward and wait. Patience includes a trust for God that won't quit. That happens through the Spirit. You know, patience is something that we share with each other, or we don't share with each other. Patience can build up, while impatience tears down. To all that, I think about the fact of how patient God has been in my life. Paul talks about himself being the chief of the sinners. Okay, if that's the case, I'm in the second spot. I've made some really dumb decisions, and you know what? God has been patient with me. And you know, as one of His disciples, the Spirit working in my life moves me towards patience. It moves me away from that earthly, fleshly reaction, where I'm a reactionist, to a person who understands on a different level besides the fleshly things that we can see in front of us. Another fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Kindness is often missing in our world. In a lot of ways, we live in the society of self. But God calls us to a frame of mind that moves beyond human thought. A frame of mind that reaches out to the spiritual realm. A frame of mind that can help us stop and take notice of a person lying in the ditch, like the Good Samaritan of Luke chapter 10. A type of mind that sees good in everybody. This type of thinking understands that God has placed value in each person. This type of mindset of kindness stops to help everybody along the way. Kindness is not something that pours forth from obligation. When it happens that way, it's easily seen for what it is, and it's quickly forgotten, and it does little good. But true kindness from the heart helps change people. I think about one particular incident in my own life. I think I was about 12. I've told you this before, but my dad worked for McDonnell Douglas, and he, government contractor, you know, laid off once in a while, kind of on a routine basis. One summer, he was out of work. Nobody wanted to hire people laid off from McDonnell Douglas because they knew as soon as they got the next contract, they were gone. So their dad sat with no money. He worked tearing down old barns and this, that, and the other. And we just come up short. Have you ever been there? I remember looking in that old refrigerator and seeing nothing. I was a kid. You know, kids don't worry about stuff like that, but when there's nothing, I take that back. There was something. There was a jar of mayonnaise in that refrigerator. And in the cupboard was a can of peanut butter, a jar of peanut butter, and a loaf of bread. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever ate peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwiches. I hope you don't like them, because I'm fixing to talk real ugly about them. We went to church that night. We walked in the front door, and over where the hang the coats was all these sacks of food. I thought we was just having a can drive. We even had one of these clown things where you'd bring your cans as a kid and stick it in the mouth and it fall through, you know, to rate. You've seen that type of thing. After church, they went and started loading all that food in our car. Our car would not hold all that food. I think one or two other cars had to come and bring all of it. I mean, the food bank doesn't have that much food. I still remember the kindness of those brothers and sisters in Christ. And I am moved to share that with other people, to let the Spirit of God dwell in my heart. Another fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Here we're talking about uprightness of heart and life. Some characteristics of a book that I was reading on this point mention these facts, and I like them. Characteristics of goodness are this. A good giver. A good giver. Let me just stop and ask you, are you letting the Spirit drive your financial car? Are you a good giver or are you a hermit? I sat next to a young man in church when I was a boy, and he'd take his dollar bill. That's how much he'd give. He had a full-time job, laying a dollar bill in the collection plate to give the Lord. What a shame, be my thought. Fold that thing up real tiny. Thought nobody knew what he was doing. I was just a young kid, 5 or 6 years old, and I'm looking over there thinking, what a shame. Do we do that sometimes in different ways? Do we hold on to the things that God give us and we don't share that goodness with others? Sometimes we can if we're not careful. Goodness includes a servant heart. You know, one of the things this church does pretty good is see a lot of servants around here. We're all tuckered out from a year of this building project, right? And moving people and all those things. Another characteristic of goodness is that we care deeply for other people. God wants us to care about others. He does. And when His Spirit indwells us, we feel that way toward other people because His Spirit leads us in that direction. Another characteristic of goodness is passion for God. Passion for God. To me, there's nothing worse in this world for a person to say, I love God. Did you catch that? I love God. Hody hum. I love God. That means nothing. Matter of fact, that does not only mean nothing, that drags me down. I'm talking about a heart that's got a fire in it and says, look, I'm set out to please God at all costs, no matter what. I don't care. I'm going to show my love, my admiration, my devotion, all of those things. I'm going to let that flow out from me. Folks, that happens by the Spirit. Jeremiah said it like this. He said he had a fire shut up in his bones and he couldn't keep it in. You know what? When the Spirit leads our lives, goodness flows from us, doesn't it, church? Another fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. A firm persuaded or a firm persuasion or conviction about God. Knowing whom we have believed in, as Paul talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. not being hung up on what we can see with our eyes, but understanding the spiritual realm. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Well, I'll tell you what, faith in God is something I can't live without. Our faith grows by a Spirit-led life through the Word of God, Romans 10:17, doesn't it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do we, as Christians, sometimes just say, well, I've got this level of faith, and that's just where I am, and that's I'm going to have to deal with that, because that's God's share that He's given to me. Have we ever been tempted to buy into that? You know, faith is something that we should be improving upon every day. Sometimes you move forward a little bit, and sometimes by the end of the day, you might have taken two steps back, and you wake up the next day, and you start all over again, don't you? But if you don't realize that that process is going on, you might be hung up in your mind to the fact that you've reached some plateau, and that's where I am, and that's a grand illusion, right? Because it doesn't work. I got to move on here so we can finish. There's also the fruit of gentleness. When the Spirit is leading your life, gentleness has to do with the way we handle information, I think. Are we reactionist? Do we react to situations? Are we moved by emotion? Are we careless in our response? Sometimes I have been throughout my life not gentle. Careless and reckless in my dealings with others. God says, look, let the Spirit lead your life. And when the Spirit leads your life, gentleness is something that will be there. Spirituality, you see, and gentleness moves us to an even temper, where we give careful thought to our responses, where we consider all aspects, when we include the idea of eternity into our thinking, where we are proactive and not reactive. That is a mark of the Spirit. And the last one here is the fruit of self-control. Self-control, I think, can only come out of a full surrender to God, where we take every thought captive, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, where we deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and we follow Him. At different times in life, I've seen people struggle with controlling themselves in their lives. I've seen worldly people really wrestle with it. I've also seen Christians wrestle with it, because sometimes we're led astray by fleshly thinking. But a Spirit-filled life takes into account self-control. I'm not going to give myself everything I want, because I don't need everything I want. I'm going to control myself. And you know, a big one for me along the way has been food. I like to comfort eat. When I get stressed, give me two bowls of ice cream. It's going to make me feel better. You know, when the Spirit of God lives in my life, I find some boundaries, okay? Some self-control. Now look at me with the end of this real quick and we'll finish up. Galatians 5, verse 24 through 26. I love how Paul hits this on the head. He says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So if we belong to Jesus, If Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and we've submitted to His will in our lives, then we have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. We talked about passion for God earlier, but church, if passion is placed in fleshly things, it will draw us, drag us down. But verse 25, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. I'll just stop there and ask you this question. Do you think of the fact during the week that the Spirit of God is walking with you? We should, as Christians. We should be attentive to that fact. If we live by the Spirit, he says, walk by the Spirit. You know, sometimes we say we're claiming godliness, but we're doing our own thing. The Spirit's over here saying, come on. We're saying, be there in a minute. I got stuff I need to take care of. Are you that way sometimes? I am. When we think of spirituality, one of the New Testament documents that we need to reflect on and give some thought to is the fruit of the spirits. So I would ask you this, as I've asked myself. Are these fruit of the Spirit? Are they commonplace in your life? Do you struggle with some of them? I'm better at some than others. But you know, the thing to do really is to acknowledge which ones you need to work on, right? So this week maybe we can think through some of these fruit of the Spirit and see if we need to grow in some of those areas. Talk to God about it. Ask Him to give you wisdom to see the things that you need to see. This evening we'll offer the invitation song. And if you have a need in your life, if one of these fruit have been lacking, if you need to share anything with the church, we'd ask you to come as we stand and sing.